This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. You're listening to us on the Ideas Network. Today's topic is fishing. And Becky Gaskill is with us to talk about bass fishing, tournaments, making your own bait, and lots more, I'm sure. Becky's a bass tournament angler and director. She's the owner of Fish Like a Girl Media and Fish Like a Girl Bait Company. Becky also writes a column and hosts a podcast. And let us know how the fishing's been this summer for you. What kind of bait is working? Do you make your own? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Hi, Becky. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, Larry is very disappointed that he didn't get to talk to you because he loves to fish. I, on the other hand, have not been fishing since I was 8 with a bamboo cane pole. So bear with me if I say something wrong. So I appreciate that. So first, how's the fishing been this summer?
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to. If you're catching them, the fishing's great. If you're not catching them, it's not so good. But I would say it's been a pretty good year so far.
Has the lack of water earlier on been a problem for fishing?
I tell you what, we had a tournament on the Willow Flowage a little over a week ago now, and it was down about 8 feet. So that made it a little difficult.
Wow, that is a lot. I've noticed that in a lot of the water bodies are very, very low. Do you have some favorite areas of the state where you do like to fish?
I'll fish anywhere there's water, but I like to fish up north. Actually, Lake Mohawkson and Tomahawk is one of my favorite lakes to fish. Mm-hmm. I like Lake Nokomis. Those are probably my two favorites, I would say. Boom Lake can be really good. I can also not like it too much at times.
Again, depending on your result, right?
That's kind exactly. Of the way it goes. Exactly.
Well, we've got Robert from Mineral Point who has a comment on how fishing's been going this summer for him. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, so fishing's been going pretty well for me this summer. I'm trying out a new technique. I'm just jigging flukes, you know, in the river. I fish a lot near Dubuque and the O'Leary's kind of river pond area. I also really fish a lot in Linksville off the Bill Hubbard, the float. Great fishing down there, really any time of the day. But, you know, at nighttime, they got great walleye fishing, even when it's not in season. I caught 4 last weekend, 21, 23, 24, and 27 inches. So it's been a good summer for fishing on this new technique.
Okay, thanks, Robert. Any comment on that, Becky?
I do enjoy fluke fishing for bass. I have used them, I would say, since the very beginning of fishing. They seem pretty versatile. There's a lot of different things you can do with them. So, it is one of my go-to baits when things get tough, I think.
Okay, great. Thanks, Robert. And if you've got some comments about how fishing's going for you this summer, 800-642-1234. So how did you get interested in fishing, Becky? When did you start?
Well, I started fishing when I was a little kid. My aunt and uncle lived out on Velvet Lake in Rhinelander. And so I would go out there and I would fish with my cousins. And then my dad and I would go, if my mom had to work and my dad was off, him and I would go fishing together. And just kind of started at a young age. Stepped away from it a bit for a while. And when I met my late husband, he was into tournament fishing. So that's what got me going into tournament fishing.
And that's very interesting, the details of that, because I was reading up on it a little bit. It's a lot more detailed than I had anticipated. So tell us more about what a fishing tournament is. What do people have to do to participate, and how do you win?
Sure. Well, in the series that I run, the Wisconsin Bass Team Trail is the series that I run, and there's certain requirements for your boat. Like, your boat has to be 16 feet long. You have to have at least a 50 horse motor. You have to have $300,000 of liability insurance on your boat. So there's certain things. You know, you have to have a working live well, obviously. For the safety of the angler and to keep the fish alive and healthy is basically what all that's about. So we usually start about 7 o'clock in the morning, every tournament, and everybody needs to be checked in and ready to go. We check live wells, make sure nobody's got that. First of all, everybody's live wells work. We have to make sure of that to keep the fish healthy and make sure that nobody's got anything in their boat that they shouldn't, that kind of thing. Then everybody kind of takes off. We take off in a single file order. And I know a lot of people on lakes have experienced that, and I've gotten a lot of comments this year how cool that is to see all these bass boats taking off. But yeah, then we go out and we fish for 8 hours. I have a permit that I pull from the DNR for each of our tournaments, which allows us to cull throughout the day, meaning that we bring in each team. There's two people on a team, and each team brings back five fish, their biggest five. So if I were to catch a 2 pound fish and I had a 1 pound fish in my live well, being able to cull means that I can put that 1 pound fish back in the lake and put the 2 pounder in my live well. And then we get to 3 o'clock, everybody comes back in and we weigh the biggest five fish for each team. They're only allowed to bring in five, even though there's two guys. And then the heaviest weight wins and all the fish go back in the lake. If the water's pretty warm, we usually have them take the fish out to like the deepest part of maybe the bay that we're in or that kind of thing, just so that the fish can get back to the water temperature and level that they are comfortable at.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense, because I don't know, do any tournaments keep the fish these days? They pretty much always release, right?
Almost everybody releases. I know there's still some walleye tournaments, some smaller ones where they'll keep the fish, but yeah, pretty much everything's catch and release these days, because mm-hmm. people just realized, you know, this is kind of our future. It makes sense for us to have a healthy fishery, so it makes sense for us to put our fish back.
Mm-hmm. We've got Jay on the line in Green Lake. Hi, Jay. What do you have for us?
Hi. Fishing has been going pretty well for me. I actually tried to do like a challenge, you know, on social media, hashtag challenge, 365-day fishing challenge, and trying to fish every day I possibly can and trying to document my catch.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you heard about that before, Becky?
I haven't, but that sounds like a great idea.
I don't think you'd get an argument from most people who like to fish, right?
No, excellent. I don't think so.
Well, good luck with that, Jay. That's pretty cool. Chris in Black Creek has something for us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I just, I'm sure your guest is well aware of this, but my brother is a fish specialist, and he taught me a lot that bass and other fish as well, they actually can tell the size of the lure or a bird or a frog. As soon as it hits the water, they have these little feelers that go through their whole body to their brain, and they turn and they can tell exactly how far away it hit the water, what size it is, what it is, whether it's a frog or a bird. And it's quite amazing. I just want to throw this in there quick. Last year, the first time in my life, I flipped a canoe, and the last thing I saw was my prescription eyeglasses that now are down in the lake, and there's probably a bass wearing them. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Have you caught any fish with glasses, Becky?
I haven't, but if I do, I'll hook you back up, Chris. I'll make sure you get them back.
That's funny. Well, I feel for you, because I lost mine in the bottom of the ocean. So, yeah.
Oh, that's probably not coming back.
Well, actually, truthfully, it wasn't that deep, and the person that I was with dove down, got them, and saved them. So, yeah, it was a happy ending. So, I love it. I love it. So, what comment do you have about the fish being able to feel, you know, the bait basically hitting the water?
Sure. Fish have a lateral line that they use to sense movement and that sort of thing. And when Chris was talking about, you know, the size of the bait and kind of the shape of it and things like that, we always try to what we call match the hatch, or whatever forage that fish is keyed in on. That's what you want to throw to get it to look, at least take a look at your bait, you know, because we use all artificial baits in tournament fishing. We don't allow live bait. So you want, if you see that the fish are, you know, they're after crayfish, for example, and the crayfish have some orange on them, you want to throw something with some orange. There are certain baits that are just straight reaction baits where something's coming through the water pretty quick and it just kind of annoys the fish or just gets its attention and it'll turn around and grab it. Because obviously they can't, you know, pick it up with their hands and look at it or that kind of thing. They get their information through their mouth. So they're going to grab a hold of that bait and say, hey, what is this thing? So yeah, there's a lot of validity to what he's saying there.
Great. So why is it that you use artificial bait instead of live bait for tournaments?
Well, live bait, it's kind of a mortality thing. Fish have a tendency to take live bait quicker and swallow it deeper more quickly. So to avoid that, we use, and a lot of guys will use scent on their bait as an attractant and that kind of thing, but it's easier to tell when you have an artificial bait and you can set the hook right away and get it hooked in the fish's mouth rather than down its gullet or hurt it for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Something kind of related to that, Elaine from West Bend sent us an email. She's curious as what is the survival likelihood of fish that are caught and released, sometimes more than once?
It's actually a lot better than most people think, especially like even tournaments today with the live well technology that we have and that sort of thing. It's every once in a while you'll have a fish that's not obviously not going to make it. And then we always donate those to like a rescue, whether it's like Raptor Education Group or one of those kind of places, because we know that they can use them for their animals. Mm-hmm. 99.99% of the fish are just going to swim right back. And there's been studies done, and sometimes it's crazy to think about, like, say, where we might catch a smallmouth and where we release it at the tournament weigh-in site could be a couple miles away from each other. You know, the bigger tournaments, say, on the Mississippi River or these big compounds down south, and those fish will actually go right back to where they were caught, and it doesn't take long. It's crazy how – I don't know how they do it, they've been found in studies to go right back to where they were. And then you can catch that fish there over and over and over again, even if you take it somewhere else to release it. So it's crazy. I don't know how it happens. So
fish don't learn from their mistakes. It's not built into their DNA.
And luckily for us that they don't. So we can catch them more than once.
Yes. Let's go to Vivian in Green Bay. Hi, Vivian.
Hello. I have 50 years river fishing primarily on the Menominee between Wisconsin and Michigan, 50 years of experience catching smallmouth, northern, the occasional sturgeon, mostly with lures. But I'm wondering if there's someone out there who needs a fishing partner, even for a tournament. I no longer have access to fishing on my own.
Okay, well, thank you, Vivian. Is there like a quote unquote dating app for fishers that want to join up?
Well, I would say the best result would be maybe to hop on social media and see if there is somebody out there. Like one of the social media things on Facebook that we have is just Wisconsin fishing tournaments, I think it is. And a lot of times you'll see people on there that, you know, might be looking for a tournament partner or that sort of thing. Or actually, Wisconsin Bass Nation, you can ask them if there's maybe a club that's close by, and they can hook you up with a club where you can go and fish with a bunch of different people. And it's really actually a fun sort of atmosphere to fish with a club, because even though we're kind of serious when we fish, it's still more of a learning experience. Like people that know more than other people, maybe about a certain body of water or about fishing in general, can really help each other kind of get an idea of what's going on. And it's just like a family atmosphere. And I think it's really fun.
Yeah, Vivian, those are great ideas. Good luck with that. We're talking with Becky Gaskill. She is a bass tournament angler and director and owner of Fish Like a Girl Media and Fish Like a Girl Bait Company. Becky also writes a column and hosts a podcast. What questions do you have about fishing? Or maybe you have a report on how fishing's been going for you this summer. Join in by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Clara Neipert is our producer today, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. Stay with us, because at 11:45, we're going to talk more about fishing, this time stocking, focus in a little bit on the Great Lakes and a little bit on the rest of the water bodies in Wisconsin. But right now, we're talking with Becky Gaskill, and she is telling us about bass fishing and other things. So Jim emailed us, Becky, and he said, for us non-regular fisher persons, could you explain some of the terms that you're using? For instance, what's a fluke?
Sure. Like a fluke looks like, it basically looks like a little minnow, and it's a soft plastic bait. And it looks like, I use ones normally that are like 4 or 5 inches long. Because I make my own, I can make them in any color I want, which is awesome. But you just are trying to mimic like a little bait fish that's in some kind of trouble. Like it might be dying or it might be injured, and you just kind of jerk it through the water a little bit, and that catches the fish's attention, because obviously it's easier for a fish to chase down something that's hurt or sick or that kind of thing and have that for lunch versus chasing something that's, you know, perfectly healthy. So that's what a fluke does. And I use them most of the time weightless, which means I just put them on a hook, just like you would a regular minnow. And then, just like I said, just kind of jerk them through the water and see what happens.
Does it stay pretty much on the surface of the water, or does it dip down some?
If you do it weightless, it will come up to the surface of the water. I know some people do put weights on them. Depending on the depth of the water column that you want to fish, you can fish them all the way down to the bottom if you want to. But I usually use them, like I said, just kind of across the top of the water, mm-hmm. almost like a topwater bait.
We were talking about fishing tournaments a little bit ago. I was curious, how common is it to see women competing in fishing tournaments? We just had Vivian here looking for a partner. Does that happen more than it used to, or how does that go?
I guess maybe more than it used to. I'm normally, like, in my field, out of 30 to 40 boats, I'm usually one of the only women. But there's a couple series around where there'll be two, three, four of us. Not as many, obviously, as there used to be. Or, I mean, as you would have in maybe like a smaller environment, like a club, there's quite a few women in clubs. And then I know that, like, at the professional level, you have the women's circuit, but I think it's not as super common, but it's kind of fun when you get at least, you know, one other woman in the field that you can talk to and that sort of thing. But it's definitely a man's sport. Uh-huh. For sure.
And is it because of the competition aspect of it? I know in general, women are not quite as competitive as men are. Have you found that to be the case?
I think the women that are out there are pretty competitive, but, and maybe that is true, that maybe as a whole, we're a less competitive gender, I guess. And I really don't know. I think outdoors in general, whether it's hunting, fishing, trapping, any of that kind of stuff, I think a lot of women are maybe a little hesitant to get involved. You know, they don't want to, quote unquote, ask a dumb question, or, you know, have a guy think they're dumb because they don't know what they're doing, or that kind of thing. So I think it's more maybe just hesitation to feel uncomfortable in the situation where they really shouldn't, because if, you know, you get out in a boat with somebody, you kind of bond with them a little bit, and it's not like they're going to be like, seriously, you don't know what you should be throwing here, or that kind of thing. They're going to help you out, and they're going to get you involved and get you to a point where you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more that than not being competitive. It's just maybe not really understanding or knowing where to start too.
That makes a whole lot of sense. If somebody's out there listening, male or female, are the clubs that you mentioned a really good place to kind of feel your way in?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can get involved in a club. You don't even need a boat, to be honest with you, because there's boaters and non-boaters, what they call non-boaters in a club, or co-anglers. And the co-angler or non-boater just goes along with a boater, and they spend the day just fishing. And in a lot of clubs, the co-anglers will be like almost in their own division, where you're competing against other co-anglers. So you're not competing against the guys with the boats. It's just fun. You can learn so much. Just, you get to fish with different people, and it's just a good time.
Okay, great. Tony in Tomahawk called, but he couldn't stay with us, and he says that you put out a publication about the state of the waters in the Lakeland Times, and he wants you to talk about that and is wondering if this year's edition is out yet.
Ah, Waterfront is what he's talking about. Okay. And I believe that comes out, I know it comes out in August, but I don't have the exact date. So that will be coming up. But yeah, that publication basically talks all about things of interest to any lake stakeholder or riparian owner or that sort of thing. Any kind of law changes, any, like he said, the state of the lakes and kind of what's going on with them. And that's a really fun one to write. I enjoy that one a lot.
Great. Well, thank you, Tony, for bringing that to our attention. Now, we were talking about flukes and bait a little bit ago. Do you have favorite go-tos in your tackle box?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And whether they work or not, we all have them and we all use them. Like, I can't put this one down because I know it's going to work.
Right.
It's got to. And then you catch one fish on it in 4 hours and you're like, see, I told you it was going to work. Yeah, I have a few of those. I guess I really like any kind of craw imitation. mostly what they call a beaver style bait, and that it just kind of looks like a crayfish in the water. A double tail grub. I love fishing a double tail grub, and it seems like anything finesse now, because all of the lakes that we fish are so highly pressured. In order to have a bigger tournament, we require 50 acres per boat. So if I have, 10 boats in a field, then we can go to a 500 acre lake. But normally I have between 35 and 40 boats to a field. So we try to get, bigger lakes, and they get a lot of pressure because that's where all the tournaments can be held, So downsizing always seems to be a good thing. Like a little itty bitty finesse worm, or what they call a Ned worm or a Ned craw, which is, the Ned worm is just exactly what it sounds like. A little worm that's probably anywhere from 2 to 3 inches long. Same thing with a Ned craw. It looks like a real little baby crayfish. So anytime you can downsize and slow down, that usually helps. Of course, every lake is different, but those are some of my go-tos, just the finesse stuff that you can really go super slow with and that doesn't have a huge profile.
So with a beginner, would those be something that you would recommend that they start with?
Beginning fishing, I would say the Ned for sure, and just a regular stickworm, just a regular 5-inch stickworm. Those are going to catch fish. They always catch fish, and not always the biggest fish. And that's part of it, though, is that they will catch any size fish, anything from your little 10-inch fish that we as tournament anglers don't want up to your 5-pounders that we as tournament anglers dream about. and I think some of that stuff kind of goes away the more tournaments you fish, because you find different confidence baits as you go along, and you find baits that may not catch a lot of fish but tend to catch bigger fish. But if I were starting, anytime I start out with a kid, a stickworm, always a stickworm, because those are just going to catch fish for you.
Great. Okay, excellent. Now, you make your own bait. How did you get into that?
A friend of mine actually was making his own, and he had there's these silicone molds, they're open pour molds that you just heat the plastic up and you pour in, and he was selling a couple of them for like $12. So I said, hey, I want to buy those. That sounds like fun. He's like, sure. And now I have we make 92 different baits that we make now. Most of them are bass baits, but we do have a lot of like crappie baits, ice fishing baits. We're getting more into the bigger ones, like northern musky sort of baits now. So it just kind of snowballed when I realized, hey, I can, not only make these baits, but I can make them and sell them and that sort of thing. And I tell most people, if you're looking to make money selling baits, it might not be the thing to do. but for me, and this is a great story, that one of my friends that doesn't fish tournaments anymore because her health doesn't allow it, but she's looking to get back into it. But she had called me one day and she says, I have this color that I need. I need some tubes in this color and I have to have it. I said, well, send me the color. So she sends me a picture of her fingernail polish that she's wearing that day. She goes, wouldn't this make a great color? Do you think you can match this? And it took me 3 or 4 tries, but yes, we did match that. So I called that particular color, I called Midlife Crisis. And I told her, if you ever want to reorder that, just reorder Midlife Crisis and I'll know what color it is.
I love that. You're going to get some orders, right, when we're done here.
Absolutely.
Where do people find your baits, and how do they order them?
Actually, I have a Facebook page that is just Flag Bait Company. Or they can find me on the internet, just flagbaits.com. That's FLAG, which stands for Fish Like a Girl. Mm-hmm. So flagbaits.com. And then they can just go on there. They can see everything that we have. And anything that's on there, we can make in any color, which is one of the things I really enjoy. Is, a guy will say, oh, I used to get this bait and XYZ company used to make it, and they don't make my color anymore. Do you think you can make it? And usually we can come, if not perfect, we can get it super, super close. So either one of those, and then my email and my phone number is right on the website. You can just shoot me a call or a text or send me a message on Facebook, and we can get it done for you.
So why is color so important when it comes to catching the fish, and why do people have favorites?
Sure. Okay, fish, one thing that we have to remember is fish have a brain the size of a pea. So color is probably more important to us than them. And one of the things, like I was talking before, is you want to do what they call match the hatch. Like if you see the crayfish have orange on them, you want to try to throw something with orange, because bass do have a sense of sight also. Mm-hmm. They don't just use their lateral line. So you want to be close to what's in the water. Now, I have one color in particular that probably doesn't look like anything that's in the lake, but I've caught so many fish on it that it must look like something. And I think we're all that way. Like one day we'll get into maybe a black neon that's working well, which is black with red spots.
Okay.
It kind of looks like a leech with a little bit of flash to it, I guess. But you might catch 10, 15 fish on that one day, you know, and wind up catching a check in a tournament. So now that's going to be your favorite bait for a while.
Until that's not working
and you're sitting in the boat going, what am I going to throw? And you look in your tackle bag and go, oh, I haven't thrown this in a while. Well, now that's your favorite bait, because then you start catching fish on that one. So, and it's about confidence, too. If you have confidence in a bait, you're definitely going to catch more fish on it.
Oh, that's interesting, because a fish can pick up on that.
I'm not sure what the deal is, but I think you just try harder if you have confidence in a bait. You're like, I know this is going to work, so if it's not working, I need to change something.
That makes sense. So if you're a new fisher person, what do you guys call yourselves, by the way? Is it anglers, fishers?
I do angler, and I also do fisherman. I'm just a fisherman because I don't know, that's pretty,
it's easy to say
worldwide, I guess. right,
exactly. Well, we're talking about bait, but what about the actual fishing rod itself? Are there some that you'd recommend for people starting up?
I tell you what, you can go and buy, you know, just anything off the shelf and to start with. You really can. The more money that you spend, the better off you're going to be in the long run, especially if you're fishing tournaments. Like, I'm sponsored by Denali Rods, so I use Denali Rods, and I buy one of their highest end rods just because the feel is so much better. St. Croix makes a wonderful rod as well, and they're right here in the state. But I just happen to be sponsored by Denali, so I use those. And you want to look for the sensitivity. And when you get into the higher end rods like that, you can do things that are real specific to what you're doing also. You can get like a really heavy rod for flipping vegetation, and you can get a really light rod for, say, your crankbaits, so that, you know, you're not pulling the treble hooks out of the fish's mouth. You don't have to get that technical, though, I don't think. Simple 7'4" worm and jig rod for everything, you're going to be okay for a hot minute. You know, you don't need to get crazy with gear like we are. I have, and I am, I won't lie to you. I have, I think, 27 bait casters and 6 spinning reels. You don't need to do that.
That's a bit extreme. But, you know, people that are passionate really get into their gear. So, and anything, whether it's fishing or music or what have you, the gear.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can spend as much money on your hobbies as you want.
Yeah, that's what they're hobbies.
But you don't have to, you know. I mean, you can, like when Gander Mountain used to sell, you know, the combos, you can go there or you can go to like Dunham's and just grab a combo off the shelf, you know, and you'll be fine. But as you get more into it, you'll find that you want things that are a little more specific, because you'll catch more fish that way.
Yep. Sounds good. Let's talk about your column and your podcast. So where can people read your column?
I'm actually the outdoor reporter for the Lakeland Times. So my column is in the Lakeland Times every week, as well as other things about hunting, fishing, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I just basically write about anything outdoor related. And so much, and obviously people know so much in Wisconsin happens outdoors. And there's so many aspects to our natural resources that sometimes get a little contentious. But to me, it's just something I really, really enjoy doing. And the people I get to meet and the experiences I get to have, you know, I might be out in a trout stream for a half a day to write one story. Or like last week, I was up at Trout Lake Station up in Boulder Junction and learning about all of the research that's happening there. And just super fun to me.
Well, I have to tell you, when you talk about controversy, you know, we tend to stay away from political cakes here. And
right.
But on Wednesdays, when it's our outdoor time, that tends to be when we're the most controversial, which surprises a lot of people. But that brings up some people have very strong opinions, we'll put it that way. So
absolutely. And different user groups need and want different things. And mm-hmm. Get contentious.
Yes, for sure. Well, because you care about it. So that's probably one of the reasons. So when you're fishing in a stream or river, or you're fishing in a lake, or if you're out on the Great Lakes or ice fishing, what are all the different nuances to those different types or different places where you're fishing?
Well, I think that's kind of a huge question, but to pare it down a little bit, I think there's so many differences, but there's also so many similarities. And you have to know, like for me, bass, I have to know what bass do. I have to know where they move during the season, you know, from all the way from ice off to ice on. I need to know what they're eating. I need to know what they need. You know, they need places where they can spawn, but then they also need, when it comes to, you know, midsummer, they need some cool water, so they're going to go deeper. And that can be said for any fish. You just want to know as much as you possibly can about your fish, whether it's a trout in a little itty bitty stream, or it's, you know, fishing the Great Lakes or something like that, which I don't have a whole lot of experience to. But you just kind of need to know your particular fish and where it likes to hang out and the things that it needs to survive.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like obviously, people of the stereotype where if you find a good fishing hole or you find a fishing good lure, you don't share that information with other people. Is that the case? Or is there some place where people share this information?
I think even tournament guys, myself included, we'll share with friends.
Okay.
You know, like if I see a friend struggling, you know, throughout the day, you run into other boats on the lake and you sit and talk a little bit. And if I have a friend who's struggling with something, I'll be like, hey, you know what? I'm catching them on this, and throw a couple in their boat. Say, well, this is what I'm catching them on. I don't know if it's going to work for you, but go ahead and try it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there are a lot of, I mean, up north too, there are a lot of seminars and a lot of guides that will say, hey, come on out and I'll take you out guiding for a day and I'll show you everything I know. And, you know, and they're great. Like Kurt Justice from Kurt's Island Sports and, you know, guys like him, Greg Bond, amazing, super, super guy, will tell you anything you want to know, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's guys out there that will certainly share
mm-hmm.
what they know.
If you ask nicely, right?
right, exactly. Maybe bake them some cookies or something.
There you go. Cookies always work, but not as bait. Bait for information, not necessarily the fish. I like it.
Exactly.
So is it a good idea to get a guide, especially if you're new to an area?
Boy, it sure helps. I mean, it really, really helps. And you might learn a new technique, or you might, you know, these are people that are spending their life on the water. I mean, think about if you are spending your life building houses and someone's trying to build a house, they're probably going to come and ask you a question or two at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with guiding. These guys make their living by being on the water, and they understand things that most people, especially new anglers, might not even have thought about. You know, so yeah, I think it's a good idea. If you have any questions at all, just hire a guide and get out there with somebody that knows the lake or knows the type of fish that you're after.
Where's a good place to get information about a good guide? Because I imagine some are better than others.
There are definitely some that are better than others. Going to like the local tackle shop, especially if they use a bunch of different guides, they're going to know who is better than, you know, maybe for your specific situation or for your type of fish, or maybe you want to take your kids out and there's a certain guide that's just amazing with kids. Your local tackle shop's going to be the one that's going to know all that. Maybe not necessarily so much your big box store, but your local tackle shop's going to know that stuff.
Are there, you know, speaking about getting kids interested, because I would imagine that it's important to the sport to get kids interested, obviously. Are there special events or organizations that help getting kids into fishing?
Actually, there are several tournaments, and I can't think of any of them right off the top of my head, but there are several tournaments that are dedicated simply to get kids out fishing. Now, this past weekend, when I ran a tournament we had one day on Stevens Point Flowage and one day on the Beeren Flowage, it's called the Up-Down Tournament, I had one guy that fished with his son, and I had one guy that fished with his grandson. And the guy that fished with his grandson called me and said, well, what do I need to do to be able to have my grandson in your tournament? And I told him, just show up. We'd love to have him. You know, it'd be great. Obviously, you're his guardian for the day, obviously, you know. But, yeah, just show up with him and let him have some fun.
Yeah.
And they did. They had a lot of fun.
What a great bonding experience for both of them.
Oh, for sure. And mm-hmm. I take so many pictures at tournaments just because those are memories that are are big. You know, they're super big. And unfortunately, at some point for the younger generation, that may be all that's left at some point, is those pictures of dad or those pictures of grandpa when you fishing. So that's hugely important to me.
Very true, because you're focused on each other and the fishing, yep. So no distractions, hopefully. That's great. Do you have any tournaments coming up in the next few weeks?
Actually, we have on Mohawkson. It will be a tournament I'm running on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then the Upper Midwest Bass Challenge, who is run by a friend of mine from St. Germain, Greg Kazuski, that will be on Sunday on Lake Nokomis. So we have those two. And then I actually have an open tournament that I'm running on August 26th. And that one anybody can get into. That one is a memorial tournament for my late husband. So it's the Rod Gaskill Memorial Bass Tournament. And that one, usually we have all kinds of people just show up the day of and want to get in, which is great. And as long as people are at the launch ramp at Boom Lake before 6:30 in the morning and they bring $170 to get into the tournament, they're allowed in. So
that's wonderful. So, and what about the other ones? And those are they professional, quote unquote, for the other ones?
I wouldn't say they're professional, but they are part of like a series.
Okay.
Like my series has four qualifying tournaments, and then we do a two-day championship, which will be this year in September on Lake Minocqua. So that'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And those usually require you to get in ahead of time, where a lot of open tournaments, you can just, as long as you have the right insurance and your boat meets all the requirements, you can just jump in on that day.
Okay. Well, that's great. And where can we find out more about those tournaments? Is there a online site?
Sure, yes. WisconsinBassTeamTrail.com is the website, and people can just go on there. They can download the entry form, and they can be all set. All of our rules are there, so.
Perfect. And one more time, what was that website?
WisconsinBassTeamTrail.com.
Okay. And we have a link to that on our program note. If not, Claire will get that on there right away. And that's just WPR.org/Larry. And then just go to this particular program. Becky, it's been so much fun talking to you. I can tell you love what you're doing and we appreciate that. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. This has been great. It's been fun.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure we'll have you back again. Thanks. And good luck this weekend.
We've
been talking with Becky Gaskill, a bass tournament angler and director, and she's the owner of Fish Like a Girl Media and Fish Like a Girl Bait Company. Becky also writes a column and hosts a podcast. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about more fish, but this time stocking in the Great Lakes. Stay with us.